This is your host, Sarah Nayani. And on today's podcast, we're going to do a little bit of a season update with some guests that you may have heard before if you listen into the first season. So Margaret Ullman Hess from Ballard Urban Flowers, Kristen Risible from Neighborhood Flower Co., and Jess Wesley from Curly Girl Gardens. The four of us are all small growers in the Seattle area, and so we have a lot in common because we're all growing fairly intensively in an urban environment and growing flowers to sell them. And it is really cool because we've all kind of come up with different ways to do that, but it's great to have each other as a network, a connection, and a community where we can get together and kind of understand what each other is going through, talk about like our pros and cons, what's going well, what isn't, what we're learning, and just give each other advice. So it's nice to meet up with them when we have a chance and also just send each other text messages when things get really busy so we can just ask on the fly what people are doing about this, or if we want to go on an order for this, or, you know, oh, are you seeing these bugs? What kind of bugs are these? Just, you know, things like that that are really interesting. And it was actually through meeting up with these ladies that really made me think about starting this podcast, because the conversations we were having were super helpful. And it was just nice to have a little network of people to go to. And I just thought it would be fun to record those and to bring other people in so I could keep learning and then share what I'm learning with people as I go. So that's kind of how the podcast started. And I thought it would be fun from time to time to check in with the three of them as sort of the muses of starting this podcast, and, you know, just have it be like over time so that you can get to know them like I have. So it was early July when we recorded this episode, and I mentioned that just because right now it's almost the end of July, and so there's been 3 or 4 weeks of nice hot sun, a lot of growth on our plants, and so when you listen into this episode, it's a little outdated from the perspective of we were all really sick of the rain and the cold, which was just ending, and now I think if we had recorded this episode this weekend or something, you would have maybe heard a little more positivity in the start, but for our challenges, we did talk a lot about the weather and how that affected our plants this season. But then throughout the rest of the conversation, we talked about ups and downs, different things that are growing in our garden right now, some recommendations for plants that we're loving or excited about this season, and then also about things that we learned, lessons learned, and then also just about direction. Because when you're growing flowers, it feels like you can't, you know, prep everything right, grow tons of different varieties, and have sales outlets for all of those when you're just one person growing. And so we talked a lot about like the different directions that we've all kind of ended up being interested in and pursuing, and kind of some of the successes and failures of those. So at the beginning, it was a pretty structured conversation where I was asking questions, and then we kind of went around the table, and then at the end, it's just a little more freeform, which is fun. So I hope you'll enjoy listening in to this episode. And if you'd like more info on any of these wonderful growers, you can go back to season 1 of the Flower Friends podcast. I had an episode with Margaret about dahlias and another one with her about seed starting. And then with Kristen, we talked about the multiple spaces that she's growing on and kind of how she approached her neighbors to expand her growing space. And some of them are now approaching her now because I think most of her neighborhood knows that she's growing flowers and people want their front yards full of beauty and to support what she's doing. And then I had an episode with Jess where we talked a lot about Lysianthus and Cosmos, which are two of her favorite flowers. So you can go back and listen to those if you'd like to before listening in today. But I think this episode will make sense either way. So I don't think you need to listen to it in any specific order. This is just more of a convo between growers who are just, you know, chatting about what's going on. So you don't really need any background to catch up. So before we get into that interview, I like to give some updates at the beginning of each episode. And so I got to do something really cool on Friday. I took another trip up to Stanwood, Washington. And if you didn't listen in the first episode of this season, I went up and did a farm tour with Marin Mathis from Farmhouse Flower Farm. So that's another one in Stanwood. But this time I went to go see Steve, who's someone that I had been following on Instagram, Call Me Mr. Red. And he grows Sarracenia. I think that's how you pronounce them. They're pitcher plants, which are carnivorous plants. And he grows different varieties, so many beautiful ones. So he has a lot of like red, a lot of like chartreuse. And then he also has white varieties with these really beautiful veining. And so I had been like admiring his plants, and he had sent me a message and just said, hey, would you ever maybe want to work with some of these in your floral arrangements? Come on by and see them, and you can take a bucket home to play around with. So I felt super lucky. One of my favorite things is going to meet new people and seeing what they're growing, seeing their different spaces. And he had multiple greenhouses set up. It's just clearly like such a passion project for him. And he's doing a lot of restoration because pitcher plants are endangered or threatened in a lot of areas. They're native to the southeast of the United States. And so he does a lot of work there and like flies back and forth to see some of the different varieties in the wild. And he's doing some breeding between the plants that he has in Washington. He sells seeds from them. And then I think he also like uses some of those seeds to help restore populations. He does a lot of fundraising for like habitat restoration because these plants grow in like bogs and swamps in the southeast. And a lot of that habitat is getting taken over by new construction, new building, you know, basically human interference into the land. And so I just thought that was super cool. And I posted some photos from that on my Instagram, which is Grow Girl Seattle. And so I'm going to try to get him on the podcast for next season, but we just couldn't figure out the recording that day. It was too much. It was our first time meeting. So I just figured it would be better if we have a sit down with better sound quality later. But I was really amazed by all of the interest and feedback, and heard from some of you that I know listen to the podcast. And so I definitely want to have him on. And next week, I'm actually having a conversation on the podcast with Meg from Propagate Positivity, who's another Washington grower, and they have all these cool varieties of cacti and different things that they grow at their house that are really unique. But they also work in habitat restoration, so they go out into Washington and find all these cool plant species that they post about. If you're into cool plants that are really different than a lot of the normal flowers that we talk about on the podcast, hang in tight, because not only will you hopefully get an interview with Steve next season, but next episode, we're going to talk to Meg. Your flower friend's flower fact question this week is about rose hips, which are like the bud-looking shape that's left after a rose fades on a rose plant, and it has little seeds inside, usually orange. There's different colors of rose hips. But what are some of the uses and benefits of rose hips? So think on that, and then you'll hear the answer at the end of the episode. Okay, well, I just wanted to get you lovely ladies together to do a little summer check-in. It was so nice to talk to you all for the podcast in the first season, and it seemed like a lot of people connected with each of your stories. So I thought it would be fun. I mean, we're still doing our garden meetups, but I thought it would be fun to get a little quick recording on the podcast. So could we just go around the room, and for anyone who didn't catch your episodes of season one, they should go back and listen. But if they're starting here, can you each introduce yourself?
Certainly. So I'm Margaret Ullman Hess, and I run Ballard Urban Flowers and focus on growing beauty in small spaces, converting urban front yards into growing areas for flowers in the neighborhood of Ballard in North Seattle.
I'm Kristen Reiswell with Neighborhood Flower Co. And I guess kind of a similar thing to what Margaret's doing, except in South Seattle. So I have like five different kind of neighborhood garden patches that I'm working with right now. And I just had someone randomly come up to me in the driveway when we were unpacking from camping. She's like, do you want more garden space? And I was like, maybe.
You're going to hire like a whole crew here.
Yeah.
And what do you grow?
Mostly annuals in a lot of the neighborhood beds. a lot of perennials in my yard, and then perennials at my plot at the community club up the street. And then I sell them from a flower stand in my driveway. Also a little bit of wholesale. And I did do a spring bouquet subscription that went really well. So I'll probably do that again.
I'm Jess Wesley of Curly Girl Gardens. Similar to Margaret, I grow in a small space in my front yard. And I would say that I also do a lot of arranging, and I'm kind of leaning into the floral art and kind of creating from what I grow side of things this year. I do a subscription. I am doing a summer subscription. I deliver to local businesses as well. Right now, I'm growing dahlias and some annuals, including cosmos, which are my summer favorites. And they're finally starting to look a little healthier, which is nice. And then I've got a lot of stuff for drying this year to do crafts in the winter, like breadseed poppy pods and straw flower and globe amaranth.
Awesome. Okay. Margaret, do you want to add anything about what you grow?
I focus on spring flowers and then take a little break for May and June. And then my main season is in the summer with dahlias and zinnias and all the fun things that grow during the warm temperatures. I do bouquet subscriptions primarily, also wholesale to florists and occasional flower stands.
Well, let's kick it off with how your season is going. Margaret, have you had any like highlights, lowlights? How's the trajectory of your season gone so far?
The big story this season is the weather.
Yes.
And everyone always jokes, why do you always talk about the weather? Well, it impacts every element of growing. And that's actually what I love about growing flowers, is you're so in tune with the climate and what's happening each season. And this year was one of the coolest and wettest on record for Washington State, at least within the last 100 or so years. And it really was interesting watching to see what thrived in it and what didn't thrive in it for the flowers that I grow. Perennials absolutely loved it. My second year roses, which I didn't expect to even get any cuts from, I had a 5-foot stalk that shot up straight up, had 20 blooms on it. Like, what is happening? It clearly loved. The cooler temperatures and just all that rainwater coming down. Mint is the tall. I've never been able to get pineapple mint tall enough to put in bouquets. Yeah, it's tall enough this year. And my apple mint is almost 4.5 feet tall. What is happening? Because they got that long, long growth period. I also grow vegetables for my family to eat. And so I've never gotten through an entire season where the lettuce or radish hasn't ever bolted, and it didn't bolt this year. I had the longest harvesting season for that, and peas are going crazy. So there's a lot of positives. And as far as flowers go, it was a really long extended ranunculus and tulip season. So when you think about doing a bouquet subscription, and in a hot year like last year, everything bloomed all at once. And so it was really challenging to have the blooms actually stretch across a 6-week subscription. Well, this year, how cool it was actually a lot easier to make the flowers really work. And I didn't have to store things in the cooler as long as I had expected I would need to. So that was absolutely lovely. Downside is all the warm summer stuff that we're just now getting into using. It was really cranky for a really long time. I had to hold things in trays for much longer than I would like to. I was really worried that I was going to deal with fungal issues. And for the most part was able to hold them off, but I think that was just pure luck. My China asters that I had been really excited to grow just looked horrible for so, so long. And they're finally putting on great new growth right now. And I think they've turned the corner and they'll be fine. But zinnias, I was harvesting zinnias by this time last year, maybe even a week ago, was harvesting them. And I've got, 2-inch stems right now, and I'm not harvesting them. They're still probably a month out from real production. And I think the big thing for me was dahlias. This was a really tricky year for dahlias because of the temperatures. And I start all my dahlias indoors ahead of time. I like to see solid growth rather than putting just a tuber in the ground. I want to know that it's a viable plant. I'm just growing in such a small area that I don't want to have a blank spot in the field. And I put them all outside like I had done in past years. And I covered them with frost cloth and was like, this is great. And it was cold and it was wet and it was cold and it was wet. And it just continued and continued. And every single one of my dahlias showed horrible markings on the leaves. And I was like, did I lose all of them to virus? Because nutrient deficiencies also can look really similar to virus. But I held solid and did a lot of research out to experienced growers who said it is most likely nutrient deficiencies you're dealing with, that the plants, when it's that cold, and especially when you've got also the wet in there too, they can't photosynthesize enough. And so, and especially cuttings that don't even have a tuber to pull from for any nutrients. And so I held steady, fertilized, and as things got warmer, pretty much everything has rebounded. There's still a couple I'm watching, but that was a level of stress that I didn't want to deal with. I didn't want to have to question every single one of the dahlias that I had planted out. But they turned the corner once it started getting a little bit warmer, and the fertilizer, I did a foliar feed. Once that, you know, several weeks of that finally kicked in, they're all looking pretty good right now. But it is, I'd say that I'm 3 weeks behind schedule as far as things are available for cutting. Like everything is definitely delayed. So I'm hoping that all catches up. I have bouquet subscriptions starting the first week, a full week of July. And so I'm crossing fingers that I should have enough, but I'm crossing fingers. And I did definitely cap the number of July subscribers because I was just worried that it was going to be until August before really the bounty came online. So
yeah, this weather's been really wild this year. Kristen, how's your 2022 started off?
It started off pretty good with tulips. I mean, I think the cold weather, like the cold winter that we had, along with the cold spring, the cold winter that we had really treated the tulips well. They came up really great. I think I had like 600 bulbs this year, and it all went pretty good. I didn't like lose too many. And they're just so beautiful and like such a great way to start spring.
Yeah.
And then just more recently, one thing that I'm like really patting myself on the back for is I tried stock for the first time.
Wow. How did it go?
It actually went really well. I was really nervous for a long time because they just like sat there and did nothing for a really long time. And I was like, why am I wasting bed space with these? What's going to happen? And then I went out like 2 weeks ago and I was like, what? It's blooming. And I mean, they're not like the 2 foot stems that you get sometimes from like the grower's market, but they're like a good, like 20 inches, like definitely bouquet usable. And they smell so good and they're so fluffy. And I had tried to do some selection of the seedlings. They outlined it on Johnny's website. And I think I actually did pretty good with it because most of them are doubles.
So you're selecting out singles in that situation so that you get the double flowers on your stock.
Yeah. But even the singles that did come through, they're still beautiful, but they're not quite as like big and fluffy. Oh, another high is some like stuff that I didn't think was going to come back, came back over the winter. Like some Tweedia.
Whoa.
I know. I didn't think, like, it is a perennial, but I didn't think in our zone, especially with the cold winter that we had, but it's all coming back up. So
great. We'll take it.
I'm not complaining. Those are probably the highlights that I first thought of. Low. Are we going low now?
Low. Yeah. Let's go low.
I hate to sound like a broken record, but that weather, I was definitely pushing it a little bit, putting out my warm season annuals. And I definitely lost like a bunch of zinnia seedlings. And it's,
yeah,
I had more that I could replace them with, but it still like hurts a little bit when, especially when it was like my saved golden hour seeds.
Oh no. So precious. That sucks.
Yeah. Very precious. But yeah, I mean, it's all looking good now, but it was like definitely a while there. I was like, am I gonna have zinnia?
Yeah.
Yeah. Another low light, slugs got all of my Delphinium belladonna, the Cliveden Beauty, that like pale blue.
Oh no.
They got all of my seedlings. So I don't have any for this year. And it like breaks my heart because I love that like peach, pale blue color combo. And I was really hoping to have. Anyways, moving on.
No, that's the worst. We can take a minute to mourn.
The other thing, and you would think I would have learned my lesson from last year, but one of my newer garden spaces that we set up, built these raised beds in collaboration with my neighbors around the corner. I got like a bulk delivery of like a garden soil mix and then just like left it at that. And I should have like topped with like a couple inches of compost. I don't know what I was thinking. And I don't know if it was like a combination of all the rain over the winter or something, but I think it leached a lot of the nitrogen out. And so a couple of the things are doing fine. The ranunculuses in there did fine. I did have to fertilize them a couple of times, but a couple of things, my Godetia is all looking pretty spindly in like one little single stem. Like they're not branching and like looking like lush and big like they did last year in a different site. And also my annual phlox is also looking a little sad. I'm hoping it'll come back, like bounce back. I have topped it all with a couple inches of compost. So, and they are starting to bounce back a little bit. I just hope it's not too late. It's too late for the Godetia, but, and maybe I should have even soil tested it. I don't know. I just assumed that it was like new soil, so it'd be like totally fine.
Right. Oh, I've done that too. I'm still doing that to some extent. So I feel you. Jess, how has your season started this spring and summer?
Yeah, it's been an interesting one for sure. As you know, this is only my second full flower growing season and like my third year growing pretty much anything. And I think that I was kind of feeling that lack of experience more this year than in previous years, because like kind of the patterns that I'd observed and established in previous years just were like thrown out the window by the weather, like everybody else has mentioned. And I was like very much not prepared for it. So on the highlights of things, like folks have said, daffodils and tulips were very happy. And we had a very long season, and even some random daffodils that for me wanted to bloom like the last week in May. And I was like, cool, like I'm just going to enjoy you, but like I'd like your foliage to start dying so I can get other stuff in. That'd be awesome. And my ranunculus did really well this year as well. There was a really long bloom time for those. Like they didn't start as early as they did last year, but they lasted a good long time. I'm letting those die back fully because I really want to save and grow those corms. And I've just pulled about half of them out, and I'm really happy with how much growth they put on. There are some of them that are like a solid like fist size that like if I wanted I could really divide up into probably at least five. But I would say like the downsides of that is that I didn't really have a plan for where I was going to put like my I have like right now I have just a few zinnias in a mixed bed where the tulips and daffodils were, and a few cosmos in there as well, and some sunflowers in my border. And I had intended to flip the ranunculus bed to have those kind of easy heat lovers that would be like a lot in a lot of bouquets. And because I'm like torn between like, I really want the ranunculus corms because, you know, I've got those ones from Floret that are impossible to find now. So anyway, I'm torn between like getting stuff out and flipping the bed and getting new stuff in. And I was in the process of doing that when then I had my best friends come to visit and caught COVID. So now it's just sitting there, and I don't know when that's actually going to be done. And I guess the other like low for me is just in general, I think I've killed more plants this year than I have in like any other year, perhaps like 2 to 3 combined. So I also had to leave a lot of things in trays under the lights for a lot longer than I wanted. And after a certain point, I kind of like start neglecting them. And I got really bad about watering, especially as I needed to like do more with the garden outside and like try to figure out exactly when I could get in there to get things in, and had to jump on that timing. So I had a lot of stuff that I either like left under the lights or just threw outside on a table, and I'm like, it'll rain.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of stuff died, like a lot more than usual this year. So I feel like in like kind of one of my lessons learned is to make sure I have like plenty of 4-inch pots around and like a plan on my schedule of just a week for like up potting each round of things.
Yeah, bumping them up so they have more soil.
I like had a plan of, you know, I start in the, I think they're like the equivalent of a 128 size cell pack for a lot of things. And then I bump them up to the 72 and I have that like sorted and I kind of have that in my schedule, but I didn't have a step after that. Cause after that they get kicked out. Cause you know, we're in zone 8B, like we kick it out.
Right, in a normal year.
And next year, I think I'm going to have a plan for that, as well as maybe having like a small backup bed that I keep fairly empty, like maybe with like some radishes or a cover crop or something, that then if I need to be able to throw in something before the ranunculus are out or whatever, I can actually do that rather than sitting here and being like, well, what now?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I don't know if you three felt this way, but like, I don't know, this weather, not only from the garden perspective, but just like personally, has just gotten me really down. It's been such a hard spring. It's been so rainy, dark, cold, and similar to what you all were saying, like, I feel like I killed a lot of plants or had trouble with timing of things, like Margaret was saying, that we're doing successfully and I didn't want to move them out, like that lasted longer, like ranunculus or something. And then I had all these seedlings that were ready to go outside that ended up, I tried to save some of them, but they've just done really poorly. And so I've ended up ripping them out. And now I have like weirdly a couple beds open, which is not usual for me this time of year. So I'll just echo what everyone's saying, that I'm kind of feeling that too. And if you guys had anything to add on the combo that just happened, feel free to jump in now. And otherwise I'll just go to the next question.
I guess one other thing I forgot to mention, I know it's hard sometimes, especially if you want to like divide your dahlias and get those tubers, but my overwintered dahlias are all like almost like butt high right now.
Yeah.
And like thick and lush. And I have done nothing this year. Like I didn't have to plant them. I didn't have to. And it has been like such, I don't want to say easy, but it has been a lot easier than like last year when I actually planted all them in the ground.
Yeah, that's awesome. How many did you end up overwintering?
There's probably like 80.
Wow, that's amazing. That's a lot of backbreaking work to dig though, like that was subtracted from your year.
Yeah. I mean, I know I don't know if I'll have to do it this fall or maybe next fall. I guess I'll have to see how big they get. I know I'll have to dig them at some point because they're just going to get too big for the spots and I'll have to divide them. But just that the fact that I didn't have to do that last year, like last fall, and then have to plant them all again this year and store them all too. Cool. Yeah. Another win, another highlight.
Okay, so next, tell me a little bit about what's blooming for you, how you're selling your flowers, and what does the next month look like for you? Margaret, do you want to start?
Things are starting to get going again, which is lovely to finally have blooms to work with again, now that it's started to warm up. Dahlias are beginning. Snapdragons have joined the party almost 3 weeks after I thought I would see them. That's fine. That's fine. It actually means I can wrap them into my July subscription. So I take most of May and June off. I am growing on just 2 urban parcels and there's just not enough space to have the perennials and the biennials that are really the backbone of that kind of in between the bulb spring flower season and then the main summer season. So I just don't have the space to grow them. So I usually just kind of take that off and then try and time most of my flowers to get started again for July and August and September, which are really kind of my main selling months for the summer. So I'm excited that I have lots of ingredients to work with when I start making bouquets again. This week I've been doing just kind of, as I have things available, making bouquets, which is always fun. In early season, you've got the Cyline, which is just so beautiful. And with the long stems I've been getting this year because of the cool, wet spring, it's just been a joy to work with. The mint has been lovely. Everything's very fragrant right now. I'm finding the combination of the mint, the snapdragons, and then the Scabiosa fama, which is hands down one of my favorite, most versatile perennials that I grow. It just pumps out flowers all season long. It's incredible. And the stems are gorgeous, very, very long.
I just want to say I had a chance to work with her Scabiosa fama recently, yes. And it is, in fact, amazing. I am in love.
Same here. Same here.
I've been growing it. It is so, so versatile. But it makes these bouquets just smell so good right now, which is lovely. So, and I'm getting my first dahlias in, which is great. And they are, some are firing just beautiful flowers right off the bat, and some are wonky. And so I get to keep them for my kitchen table, which is fine. Early season. It feels like early season when you get, they'll blow their centers really quickly, or they'll still have, or sometimes they're like lopsided in a way. So I just get to keep those, which is fun, but some of them are coming out with just spectacular blooms right away. The, KA cuttings that I got, really strong blooms right away, but they're also a much more established plant, when they went in the ground. So maybe that's making a little bit of the difference. So it's always lovely to start to see some of the new dahlia varieties that I purchased this last fall, actually starting to see the colors come out from those, and starting to envision, okay, how am I, what, who's going to match with who, right?
Yeah.
What are the dahlias that are going to match well with this type of snapdragon? And every year is different as to when things are going to bloom. So having the snapdragons bloom this late means that they're actually overlapping with some flower varieties they normally wouldn't. So it's always a fun challenge every year to come up with bouquets. And I feel like whenever I get the perfect combination, I may or may not be able to replicate it again, because they may not actually all bloom at the same time again.
Yeah. Some interesting combos this spring and summer. So Margaret, you posted about some seedlings, some dahlia seedlings that are about to bloom. Do you want to mention anything about those?
It's a fun project that I love to do. I had far more dahlias than I knew what to do with at one point last summer. So I said, well, just bloom your hearts out and I'll collect seeds. And I just kind of let them all open up and cross-pollinate however they wanted to. It was an area that only had doubles. So I was hoping that meant I had a higher proportion of doubles in the seedlings as well. And then I planted about 50 of them out, and it's just so fun to go every day and just see what's opening up. And I had posted a couple really interesting prospects that are looking like they're doubles. Yeah. Well, the vast majority of those seeds are going to be singles.
And like bright neon, right, or red. Yeah.
I'm selectively sharing the ones that I'm most excited about, but just the way the dahlia genetics work with the 8 different sets of chromosomes, you're never going to necessarily have exactly what, you know, you cross 2 parents together, you're not necessarily going to get something that looks like an offspring of those 2. But interestingly enough, I had one that I know was a blizzard, was the seed parent, because I know I harvested from that plant, but I didn't know what the pollen parent was. And now that I look back at it, I think it was Foxy Lady.
Oh. It's
like the version that I have now is like a muted Foxy Lady. So it's got the kind of purplish, almost pinkish, magentish kind of back petal color on, and the edging, and then kind of a soft yellow on the inside. And it, so I'm like, huh, they were planted near each other. Maybe it's that, or maybe it's not. I mean, who knows? It could have been like, you know, 2 blizzards crossing, and that's what you get. That's the fun with dahlias. You never know what you're going to get. And it's, I don't have a regimented breeding program or anything like that. This is just for fun. And it's always a pleasure to go in the summer and just see, oh, what new treasure has opened up and what new variety that's never been here before. And this is my second year growing out some of the seedlings that I had found last year. I bought seeds last year. So they weren't ones that I hybridized, but saving the tubers over the winter and now seeing those plants starting to grow again and seeing if they actually turn out okay. There's one that was a not fully double, but mostly double blush last year. That was just, it was fun. It was fun. So I kept it, and it's coming back almost like a single. Like, either they're just giving me some wonky blooms at the beginning of the season, which very well could be what's happening. Or they do morph over time. It takes several years to really get it stable. So who knows, maybe I've got a blush single if anyone wants.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say that I think growing seedlings gives, just like, even if it's a small amount, gives such an insight into like the varieties that we have and treasure now, about like how many breeders do you think like had this perfect, amazing one in the first season, and then the second season it didn't come back true, or the tubers don't store well. It's just so many heartbreaks probably to get to just one variety that's manageable. So I love hearing about that. And that's amazing that you put that many out. So can't wait to see how they open. It's like a little treasure each time, I bet. Kristen, what about you? What do you have blooming right now? And what are kind of your sales outlets? How are you moving those flowers this time of year?
I just am getting my first few dahlia blooms. Totally Tangerine again was first out of the gate, same as last year. It's always super early. I like literally just put together bouquets for the flower set and I can't even remember what was in them.
Well, I know some that I just bought from you, I can mention. There's one, I called it mock orchid because I didn't want to call it poor man's orchid, but that one is so cool. I've never seen that flower before.
Yeah, that the credit for that one goes to my friend Ellie from Borrowed Garden. She's the one who told me about Schizanthus.
Schizanthus.
Mouthful. But yeah, so I tried a little patch of that and I really like it. So I'm going to definitely do more of that next year. And then next year I will also support it in time so that it doesn't flop over. Yeah, that's blooming. Oh, I had a really good yarrow crop this year. Lots of all my stuff from all the yarrow from last year came back and is like super tall and looks really great. And then the new stuff that I planted too is all looking really good too. That's been really good lately. My sweet peas are doing really well right now. The stems are getting a little bit short, so I'm cutting the vine a little bit too, which is kind of nice because then you get a little bit longer vase life, and I know they're a little bit more usable that way. My roses, the first blush is like just wrapping up, which was lovely. It was a lovely couple of weeks there. So I got to get in there and fertilize them and get them ready for the next flush.
I just got to visit you and I could not believe how many roses you had. They're so beautiful.
I have like a real soft spot for roses. That's for sure.
Yeah. And you're selling your flowers through like your stand right now and a subscription that you're going to start?
Yeah. So the flower stand has been up Wednesdays and Saturdays. It was only Saturdays for a while, but for the past monthish or so, it's been Wednesdays and Saturdays that I've had the flower stand up. And then I've also had a couple custom on the side, people have ordered on the website, custom arrangements for different things. Yeah. And it's going really well.
Good.
Again, selling out.
Yay. Maybe
there'll be like one or two left over, and which is great for the neighbors. And just like, I don't know, still meeting, you know, people will like stop me. I'm like gardening in the front yard or doing something and they'll be like, hey, we really love the flower stand. And they'll like sit and like chat with me for like a little bit. And at my other beds too, at my other neighborhood beds, I'll be out there working and people stop and chat about how they like love seeing the flowers growing and stuff. And it's
so good.
Yeah, it's been really great in that regards.
Jess, do you want to mention any flowers that you have blooming right now and how and where you're selling them to?
Right now, my sweet peas have really gotten going. And I actually have some, like, I didn't plant as many this year as I did last year, because last year I just wasn't able to keep up with it or use them in everything that I do, because they add a nice little bit of whimsy. And sometimes it's nice to have like a whole bunch, but for like mixed arrangements, I can't use so many of them. But I did decide to plant some just along my railing, just because I like watching them climb and they smell really good. And that worked. And so they look really pretty right now. And that makes me happy. I also like, I have red seed poppies blooming, which is my first year growing them. I just scattered them out in the winter snow at a recommendation from something I saw on Garden Answer, and it worked really well. They're mostly like these big kind of fluffy peony doubles that are like a corally pinky red, which even though they don't last that long, it's really pretty. And then obviously I'll use the pods and dried work. I have some white ones and some white and pink ones too. This was just part of a seed mix I picked up randomly. And the white and pink ones actually press really nicely for dried work. as well. So that's going to be really pretty.
Good. That's great. You can get like the double use if you're going to save it for the pod. You can do something with the flower petals. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Because like I will probably, especially with what a weird year it's been, I'll probably going to switch over into doing more of my dried art sometime in like October, November, mm-hmm. and kind of wrap up fresh stuff by, I believe, my last year long. I have a year long subscription delivery that's one a month for the full season. And that ends in October. And after that, I think I'm really going to focus on dried stuff. So that's good to have. And I also just see out my window, since I haven't really been outside in a few days, that my first sunflower is opening up. It's one of the white night seedlings that I actually got from Margaret. And I can see that just over the retaining wall. That's just started. I have yarrow. Also divisions from Margaret.
Margaret's like our supplier. Instead of drugs, it's flowers.
Oh, she is for sure. And that's just getting like, I've been able to harvest a couple here and there, but it's just getting to the point where more of them are coloring up at once. So that's pretty cool. My cosmos, most of them have some little buds on them. Only one has produced a flower like with a cracked bud so far. The others are kind of still like, you know, making sure that our heat is going to last. My lavender looks really good right now. It's kind of at the perfect stage for cutting fresh where some of the flowers have opened. I guess my favorite ones of those would definitely be like the lavender right now is just amazing.
Yeah, I love lavender. It's so good for us and for the pollinators. So that's great. Well, do you guys have a couple favorite varieties that you recommend for other growers?
I think the flowers I'm most excited for this year are actually going to be blooming soon. So I don't have a recommendation yet, but I'm super excited about, I'm doing a bunch of different celosia varieties this year just to get, they grew really great last year, but it was also super hot last year. So we'll see. I've always heard that it's very difficult to grow them out in the field. Most growers grow them underneath a tunnel because of that extra heat that they really like, at least for our climate. So crossing fingers that I found some new varieties in there that I really like. I got the Crystal Beauty one. Kristen, thanks for the recommendation on that. Super excited to see that one bloom when it, you know, finally gets around to thinking about blooming. You know, 4 inches tall right now and just kind of hanging out. But really excited about some Rebecca varieties, both save seeds and new ones. So I'm just excited about things that are coming and hopefully I have a recommendation for new varieties in the future.
Awesome. Kristen, do you have any that you recommend?
Along the Rebecca line, the ones that I planted last year all overwintered well too, which I wasn't sure was going to happen with kind of the fancier, like I know the regular like Gold Sturm, like that'll keep coming back. But the kind of the fancier varieties, I wasn't sure if they would overwinter, but they've all come back and they're really tall and looking really great. And I did really love them last year, both the Prairie Sun and the Sahara varieties.
I'll be interested to hear how your Sahara stem lengths do overwintered, because I've found those to be kind of short, both when I bought them and then a couple plants I tried to grow. And I want to know if I leave them in, will they get a little longer?
I mean, they're already taller now than they were, like definitely at this point last year, for sure.
Good. Okay, that's good.
So I'm hoping that the stem length will be better.
I can chime in and say I have overwintered before. The stem length is great the next year.
Oh, good.
Similar to if you planted Rebecca like this fall and you let it overwinter and then it were to flower next year, it would also have longer stems versus planting it the same season you want to harvest in. But I am finding that they are short-lived perennial. Mine, I have a treasured one. It's sending up 2 leaves right now. That's it.
Okay.
Because it's 3 years old. But I'm finding that the first year and the second year are great, and maybe you can get a third year out of them. But if you have a favorite, you want to take cuttings and kind of propagate it that way.
Good to know. Okay, that's great. More hope for taller Rudbeckia this year. Kristen, did you have any more?
One thing that I would recommend people, in this area it grows really well is the yarrow. And there's just so many like beautiful, like the white, you know, you kind of see that seeding itself weed like all over the place.
Yeah.
But I tried a new blend. Was it from Johnny's? favorite pastels instead of summer pastels. Okay. And I've gotten a really pretty, like, kind of blush pink from it, and this kind of like pale yellow that's really beautiful. And they're, yeah, and they're just super easy, and they come back. And yeah, I think I would definitely recommend Yarrow to someone. Oh, and the other thing that just started blooming was my Apricotta Cosmos.
Okay.
And they're another one that's kind of like on the shorter side, kind of like the Apricot Lemonade and the Xanthos were the other two, like, kind of shorter cosmos that I have. But the color is just like gold pink. I don't know. That's not a very good impression. But it's like, I almost was going to say, I'll show you a picture. That doesn't help anyone.
No, we can post a picture.
But yeah, it's like, and it ages like to such a beautiful, I don't know. I should look up on the seed packet what the time days to maturity is, because I kind of want to sow some more.
I can jump in here and say, go ahead and sow some more.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. Just because, especially like with our summer heat really coming, I have gotten them to start blooming as late as like October and November for some plants.
Okay.
And you don't get like a super long bloom season that way, but they produce so fast that you can definitely get some use out of it. Okay. So I would say go ahead. I'm going to.
You know your cosmos, so I'll take your word for it. But yeah, it's a really beautiful, and like, because it doesn't get like the super, super tall that some of the other varieties get, it's a little bit more manageable too. Like, it's not, you know, I don't have to stake it. I'm not netting it. It'll be fine. So yeah, I would recommend that. And actually those two together, the yarrow and the apricot, would actually look really beautiful together. So
yeah, love those colors. Great. Jess, did you have any flower recommendations for people of things you've really loved this year?
Yeah. I mean, I have a lot of stuff that I'm looking forward to as well. I really love working with China asters last year, and this year I have an apricot and lavender color that I am super excited to see come up. As far as something blooming now that I'd recommend, columbine, I just feel like it's such a cool flower. It's also one of the first ones, like aside from cosmos, that I saw that was two-toned that just like blew me away. And I have one right now that was originally from a seed mix pack, but that's just this lovely like white to then like a pale yellow and like almost a blush pink at the end.
Ooh, beautiful.
It's its second year blooming. So I've had it, I first planted the seed in winter of 2020. So I don't know if I'm going to have it for another season or not, because they tend to be short-lived, but it is just beautiful, and it blended so well, and it adds that nice bit of airiness. And it is one that's blooming kind of through this like awkward period. Like, it can be used with ranunculus and then kind of with the irises, and I kind of like that like interesting shape thing that goes with the irises. And then I haven't had it for like a couple of weeks, and now it seems to be coming back. The summer heat might do it in, but we'll see. Yeah, sometimes you can get another flush in the fall. So it's just a really cool one that way. And another thing I'm super excited about, I also have some white lavender that I bought at Swanson's, I think, a couple of years ago. And I haven't been getting it to take, like, it stayed alive, but it wasn't doing so well. And this year it's finally really like settling in and producing some. And it looks exactly like I think it's the English lavender that I have. It's the same like lovely shape, but it's just like pure white. And I am so excited to start working with that too. So
beautiful. Yeah. I haven't seen white lavender. That's really cool. Is there anything that you've learned this season, either with the weather or anything that you want to bring up?
Soil temperatures are important. Like, it's not just air temperature, but like the importance of soil temperature. Definitely something to keep in mind, and probably not something that I paid super close attention to last year, but maybe it wasn't as necessary, but definitely necessary this year, because I was out there with like a like a meat thermometer
I was going to ask how you measured it.
Yeah. Just like poking it into the soil. So it was at least like 4 inches down, like where the roots would actually be. And like every few days I'd be like out there checking, like, is it 60 yet? Is it 60?
No. Did you notice a pattern in like the difference between the air temperature and the soil temperature, like at certain times?
It was definitely cooler for like a long time.
Yeah.
Than the air temperature. Like it took a while for like them to, for it to warm up. That's my hot tip that I learned, I guess you could say.
So maybe like if you're looking at the packet when it says like a temperature, it's like plant when it's above 50 or when it's above 60, maybe use the soil temp instead of the air temp is kind of what we're doing, or?
Yeah. Especially with the warm season annuals, I think it's critical for them to thrive. It's just got to be a little warmer. Which also makes me wonder if I should have experimented a little bit with like covering a patch with like some landscape fabric, like some black, to see if that could like help draw some heat into the soil and see if that would warm it up faster. I might do a little experiment with that next year. See if that affects it at all. Margaret, thoughts?
Yes, 100% on soil temperature. And it's, I really nerded deep this year on figuring out temperatures because I have a lot of covered beds that I do. And that's how I warm up the soil. I mean, in the landscape fabric per se, but I will cover with like hoops and frost cloth. And I, or even like greenhouse plastic. And I got these little portable sensors. I think it's Yolink is the brand. Cause I mean, they're professional ones for farmers, but they're like hundreds of dollars. My curiosity is not worth several hundred dollars. I'm not going to gain that much new insight from this, but they're like $30. They're like a hockey puck and you stick it out there and it talks to your phone and tells you what the temperature is. And I can put it underneath these covered beds. And it was really interesting because I actually found that with the frost cloth cover, and it was like AG30. So like, not like the heavy duty, but like a good moderate frost cloth. At night, it didn't trap that much extra heat, just a little bit. And it kept the frost off. So I wasn't getting frost damage, but it wasn't really heating it up, but it was helping the soil during the day. It was like the daytime was the benefit. I was getting all the solar heating of the soil during the day. So my soil was warmer. So the plants could survive even if the air temperature inside wasn't as warm at night. But on like a sunny day, if I didn't go and crack those to vent them, it would be even just 60 outside and it would be 75, 80 inside there. And even cracked, it would get warm. So it was just this, I knew that it got warm inside, especially with the greenhouse plastic, but I did not realize how quickly it warmed up with that solar radiation on it. So it was like, quick, get outside, open up those beds, you know, or pull them off entirely. And that was a bit of insight that maybe helped me regulate the temperatures inside a little bit more fine-tuned this year, but it's a lot of work to go and open up and close beds. And I'm grateful that the other plot that I work on is just across the street. I could literally go look outside and be like, oh, the sun is shining on the beds. I have to go open them. It would be a lot of effort if it was not adjacent to my house.
Yeah.
Yeah. I barely covered anything with frost cloth this last year, last winter, because for that exact reason, I have a feeling I'm too lazy to go out there every day.
I'm the same, Kristen. I'm way too lazy.
I am also a member of team way too lazy.
That's why we have Margaret can tell us how we should do it and show us how we should do it, but then whether that occurs or not is less certain.
See, the key is if you're willing to have more things die, then you can be lazier.
My plan is to just have less plants that are like, yeah, just divas. Like, I don't want any more divas. Like, I'm almost at the point where I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to do dahlias next year, guys. I'm not getting the joy from it that I have in the past. It's like every single like little spot. I'm like, oh my God, is it virus? And is it going to infect all my beautiful roses and my other plants? Like, I'm just so freaked about it that I'm just not having fun with them. And some of the ones that like like I put Bells of Ireland in and have not done a thing, nothing. And they're so happy. And I'm like, okay, great. Like I want more plants like that. Like snapdragons, so easy. I'm like, all right, I got to find ones that I love and that just don't require as much from me to be the type of gardener that I want to be. And with trying to do like the floristry side and stuff, I can't keep up with it this time of year with everything. So
I totally agree, Sarah. I think I'm in kind of a similar position as you maybe were like at the start of the season where you're like, I'm going to focus on what I like to grow and be okay with bringing things in from elsewhere. Cause like I said, I'm kind of leaning more into the design and art side this year and just keeping up with like, you know, I recently had like a wedding order for personal flowers and then like had a custom order come in that like I actually, you know, had to cancel because I got sick. And like, it's just between that and then trying to take care of things in the garden and watch for virus and all that stuff, I'm like, it is too much, you know? So I'm actually thinking of kind of like moving more towards what you described as well, just kind of plants that like to grow where like in my garden that bring me joy. And otherwise, you know, it's, I can get things from like Margaret or Kristen or you or the wholesaler, yeah. Like, and you know, that's totally fine. But kind of, yeah, leaning into the things that are, that do not take as much maintenance and that truly bring me joy, I think is kind of my plan for going forward.
That's what I love about this whole flower growing project, right? Like it, everyone takes it in a different direction that's the right thing for them. And yeah. We all experiment with these different options of like, we try it all to begin with, and then we figure out what gives us the most joy and we lean into it. I love the problem solving around how to grow things. Like when a plant gets a disease, I'm like, I got to figure it out. I get joy out of that. And so I lean into that side. And then I just really dislike marketing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and have like limited bandwidth with a young daughter to like do big design projects. And so I increasingly am selling more on wholesale because I love the growing side of it. And I may not have the bandwidth to do big design projects. So or to do the marketing to move the product. And so that's where I've leaned in. And I love that I've like come to peace with letting some of those other elements go. It just didn't give me the same joy.
Growing gives me so much joy. I just like can't figure out how to balance growing and selling and designing and events. And I'm really struggling with like what to, you know, it's just easier for me to grow the varieties that I know I can grow well and do well, and then leave the other things to you guys and to the market, like Jess was saying, and just try to find like the balance. And so I don't know. It's a hard one. And I'm also very fickle because right now I'm like, oh, this is so annoying. And then next year, you know, I'll be trying it again. So it's amazing what can happen in the cycle of a year.
In the fall, you're going to be like, look at all these new dahlia varieties. I'm growing all the dahlias, all of them.
It's like having kids. It's like you forget the pain of childbirth so you can have another one. It's like with dahlias, I'm just going to try to forget this horrible winter and spring. And probably next year I will be growing them, but it's so painful right now. So
it is nice with dahlias to grow like the couple, like really beautiful, like kind of special ones that are maybe hard to find at the market, but we are pretty lucky with having the Seattle Wholesale Growers Market like here. Yeah. Because there's so many great flower farms in our area that we can source from and like that do, for example, dahlias like really well. So it is, I totally agree. There was on Wednesday, my flower stand on Wednesday, when I was harvesting on Tuesday for it, like I was feeling so overwhelmed. There's just so many flowers. And I was like, do I have too much? Like, what am I doing? Kind of having like almost like a existential crisis a little bit. I think it was just like a really big harvest day for whatever reason. Things just kind of all happened to be happening at once. But I'm kind of, I don't know. I love the growing part of it all as well, but I also love the design, putting things together aspect of it too. But I'm wondering if things get nuts growing wise, like if I've, you know, got lots and lots and lots, I'm wondering if maybe, I don't know, there's a part of me that's like, maybe I should just do like a subscription and not have the stand. And then I know like, okay, I'm going to make 8 bouquets, you know, twice a week or something. And then everything else I'm just going to sell to like Sarah or whoever.
Yeah.
And so I still get a little bit of that, but I'm not feeling overwhelmed with like the design aspect of it. Cause it does take, it takes time.
It takes brain space it too, does. Right? Like it you does. Have to like engage your creativity and like, I love doing that, but it's like to be, I can, it's hard to like focus on both. Like, what do I need to be doing in the garden right now? And I have to do this custom design like for later, you know? And especially like, I know 3 of the 4 of us are moms and having a kid in the mix and like, and having, needing obviously brain space and time for that too. It's just like, you can only, you really have to kind of prioritize those things that are bringing you joy. I want to say one thing that I think has been successful for me is the business subscriptions that I did. Those are ones that mostly like got through contacts at kind of the beginning of the season and just, they just keep going. And like, I know that I have like these bouquets I'm delivering, these arrangements I'm delivering every week. And that's been helpful, as well as my full season monthly arrangements that like, I just have a calendar. I know where those flowers are going. I know about how many flowers I need if my garden isn't producing. And like, I felt like I could kind of like have marketing like blitzes for those things and then not have to do it like throughout the year. And otherwise, like, yes, I've had some like random custom orders come in unpredictably, but yeah, kind of just knowing that like I do have a place for this many flowers and kind of having that as a starting point, I think has been really helpful. And I also like establishing those relationships with people too. Like, I get to know the other local business owners or the other people that like, you know, are getting flowers from me for 8 months, you know, even if it's just 10-minute conversations on the sidewalk. So that's something that I think has brought me a lot of joy this year.
That's great. Well, I think we're nearing the end of our projected timeline. So does anyone have any last minute things you'd like to add in?
I bought a pair of overalls.
Love it. Official farmer status.
I know.
That's how you know.
Yeah, I do feel, I feel very farmer when I'm wearing them, but they're also super handy. There's so many pockets and I don't have to worry about like my butt showing, like when I'm bending over, everything's tuckered.
Are they jean or white or what color did you go for?
I got them from Duluth Trading Co. There's someone, there's a bunch of flower farmers on Instagram that I follow that wear them and like talk about them. And I was like, okay, well, they were having a sale. So I was like, I'll try them. I got like a dark gray.
Love it.
We'll see if that was like a bad place or not.
No, I think that'll be good. It'll blend with the dirt.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah.
Inevitably.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're like a lighter weight, I don't want to say nylon. Maybe it's a nylon fabric. Anyways, it feels, they're light. They're light for summer. Like more, they're not like a canvas, like a heavy canvas. So yeah, I'm excited about those. That's my.
That's a very appropriate little addition there at the end. Cause I feel like the gear we wear makes a big difference. All right. Well, thank you guys so much. It was really nice to catch up with you and just get a little update on your season so far. And we'll have to check in later this year. Okay, just a reminder that if you want to hear more from any of the 3 guests, Margaret, Kristen, or Jess that joined for this episode, you can go back and listen to earlier episodes of Flower Friends. And if you'd like to follow along with them on Instagram, Margaret is at Ballard, B-A-L-L-A-R-D, Urban Flowers. And Kristen is at neighborhood.flower.co, C-O. And Jess is at curly.girl.gardens. And I'll link to their Instagram accounts in the podcast show notes. So wherever you're listening to this, you can open up the show notes and it links everything right there. And while I'm at it, I'll just throw this out that this podcast has its own Instagram account. It's at Flower Friends Podcast. And it's a great place to see what episodes are newly released, get the direct link to those, and just to be able to see who's on, ask questions, throw comments in the notes if you want to hear about something coming up, I really try to take people's feedback and use that to guide who I have on as guests, what topics we're talking about. And so would love to hear from you on the Flower Friends podcast Instagram. And I also would love to get some listener flower facts. Every week, I'm just trying to think about like something that happened to me that week, or, you know, just different things that I found really interesting. And it's funny because I have so many, but whenever it comes to actually sitting down and recording, I like can never think of them. So it's like stage fright or something. So if you have cool flower facts that you've learned about, and it can be flower adjacent, it can be about like insects, pollinators, soil, you know, it doesn't have to be about a flower itself, but something related to gardening or growing or selling, cut flowers, anything like that, please feel free to submit it. You can send it to me on the at Flower Friends podcast Instagram, or you can send it to my email, which is sarah@growgirlseattle.com. And if you submit a flower fact and I use it on the podcast, I'll be sure to credit you. So you'll get a little shout out, and it will just be fun to listen in and see if your question gets asked. So speaking of the flower facts, the question this week was about rose hips. And the reason that I was thinking about this is my husband and I, we don't have a lot of shows that we both like to watch. And so when we do, it's like the stars align and it's like, oh my God, we have a show that we both like. So right now we are watching the show Alone, which I think is on the History Channel, weirdly. I think we're watching it on a streaming platform because I don't think we have the History Channel. But we both love it. It's a show about like people who go to these wilderness areas organized by the show. There's like 10 contestants and they're competing for money and they have to see how long they can survive in the wilderness alone. And there's actually one season where they could bring their brother or their wife or their husband or whatever. So there is one season where it's not actually alone, but it's a really, really interesting show. I'm just fascinated by it. And we've watched like all the seasons. It was one of the pandemic shows that we got really into, and we didn't realize that there had been a new season out for a little while. We weren't tracking it. So we were really excited when we found it. But on this most recent season and some of the prior seasons, they eat rose hips. So they'll use them like to make rose hip tea just to get nutrients out of them. And I thought it was super interesting that rose hips are full of antioxidants and vitamin C, and you can boil them in water and get the nutrients from them. But then rose hips are also used to make oil from. And the oil is supposed to have anti-aging properties, both using the oil and I think consuming the rose hips as well. And then there's other like commercial uses for them. Like people use them in cooking, desserts, rose hip tea, like I mentioned. There's apparently a classic Swedish soup made with rose hips. There's jams, marmalades, and it's like a kind of a fruit that's used, I think, in a lot of Middle Eastern cuisine. There's also rose water, which I don't know if that's made from the rose hip, but that's another thing that's like in a mango lassi that's really delicious. So lots of uses for roses and rose hips. And it's just kind of cool to know all the things you can do beyond growing the flower, but what else the plants can be used for. The song of the week this week is Angel from Montgomery. I love the classic original by John Prine, but the one I love the most is Bonnie Raitt's version. So go give that a listen. And we have a new Spotify playlist that I've mentioned before. It's the Flower Friends Song of the Week playlist over there. So if you need a good listen, you can go catch all the songs that I recommended on every episode in one playlist together over on Spotify, Flower Friends, Song of the Week playlist. All right, that's going to do it for us this week. And I'll just leave with one last thing that I hate asking for, but I really would appreciate if people can rate and review the show on whatever platform you listen to the podcast. I know every single podcast is like, please rate, review, subscribe. And I get so sick of hearing that, but it really does make a difference. When you rate and review the show or subscribe to it, listen to the episodes, download the episodes, it really helps with the visibility. It helps to allow other people to find the podcast and listen to it and share great information about growing and selling and designing with flowers and just, you know, build this lovely little community that we have into something where it's big enough that I can get more guests that you guys love to hear from. And it really does help with that. So really appreciate all the people who've been leaving great reviews, and I hope you'll go leave your honest feedback there, and also feel free at any time to shoot a message on Flower Friends Podcast if you have ideas on Instagram or to my email, sarah@growgirlseattle.com. So I look forward to connecting with you guys. Hope you have a lovely week, and next week, going to be back with so many flower facts, so many interesting things with Meg from Propagate Positivity. So see you then. Take care. Bye.